This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
All right, Rick, you're the Jets manager. I'm going to let you choose how you'd like to go. You want to take a couple of Jets calls, or do you want to hear more from your general manager from the K-Show yesterday right now?
I want to hear from Jets fans.
You want to hear from the fans?
I want to hear from the fans, yeah.
Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Dave in Manhattan. Dave, lead us off in the 10 o'clock hour right here on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Dave. He's not there, I'm told, which is fine because we have many calls. Dan in Saratoga, you're next up on 98.7, Dan.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's going on, Danny?
What's going on? This may be an unpopular opinion, but I think it's time for you guys to do the 3-7. Just saying, but that's neither here nor there. But basically, my question is this. I called last week, and I basically got laughed at because I think that the Jets are just as bad as the Knicks organizationally, and you guys didn't agree with me. But now I want to see if you maybe have a change of heart, or because the Knicks I know have historically been bad, but at this point right now, standing today, I would trust the Knicks organization going forward more than the Jets. I mean, would you agree?
That's pathetic.
No, I
still don't agree.
We haven't. This could be the worst Jets. This could be the worst football team ever. The Knicks have bad basketball teams, but you can't say one of the teams is the worst ever.
You've hired somebody in Joe Douglas. His pedigree is you can't argue his pedigree.
The GM
of the Knicks is an agent.
I get it. But which organization do you trust going forward at this point today? The Knicks or the Jets?
The Jets.
Is there a neither?
If you had to pick one, though, thanks for the call, Dave.
I would say the Jets.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah.
I like the Knicks coach, though. I need to see who the next coach of the Jets is going to be. And if it's going to be Joe Douglas.
Well, the next coach of the Jets is no doubt going to be better than Adam Gase.
Oh, that's not even
it's only up from here. But you can go get the head coach from Don Bosco. He's going to be better than Adam Gase.
But it's got to be legit. You can't just continue to do this where you go from one coach of this ilk to the next. It's got to be a legit coach.
It'll be a legit coach, Dave. They'll go through a legitimate coaching search, and Joe Douglas will be at the middle of it. He knows what a good head coach looks like, right? So I just feel like we have to go through this process. But again, I just feel like based on where the Jets are at right now, the lack of accountability is what's holding this organization back in terms of building the culture that you need in order to develop the talent that you get. Because right now, the draft picks, the guys that come in there from free agency, they're all hostages. They're not willing participants. They are. Think about it. The free agents that you get, you're paying top of the market prices. You paid C.J. Mosley $17 million a year. And guess what he did in year two of that deal after not playing barely in year one? He played, what, two games in year one? In year two, he's like, you know what? I'll opt out COVID concerns. I got the $10 million roster bonus in the spring. I'm good on playing for y'all in 2020. We'll see where y'all are at in 2021. Like, that's where they're at. Jamal Adams said, if you're not going to pay me, I want out.
Well, what's the allure to playing with the Jets?
Until you change the culture within that building,
right?
Nothing about it is going to change.
So unless you're going to grossly overpay someone like you did with C.J. Mosley, why are they going to sign with you?
They're not, Dave. That's why you got to get to the point where you actually build the infrastructure, you change the culture so you can develop the young talent that you draft, and then you can accent that with the free agents that you supplement the roster with. That's the only way. You got to change the perception of who the Jets are, because right now, everybody in football looks at the Jets as the worst team, even worse than that mess that's going on down in Dallas. Something about that has to change. Until that does, you're not going to get guys buying into your program.
Let's go to Dave in Manhattan. Dave, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, thanks. This is actually a great segue because that was exactly what I was going to say, what Mr. Canty just said. You know, right now, I just think that players in the league are looking at the Jets, especially after the interview yesterday with their general manager. I mean, Mr. Canty, you tell me, as a player when you were in the NFL, I'm sure there had to be certain teams that you and your colleagues did not want to involve yourselves with. You might even go to your agent to say, you know what, any place but that place. Because that place is going to be a place where I'm not going to be able to win. There's no type of culture in place. And it's a situation where if I blow my knee out or crack my leg, I can end my career with a horrible team. I mean, I just – You already stated it, but I was on the line. I appreciate the candor. I mean, what am I wrong in saying that? Or do you honestly
think
Jets can invite a high-paid free agent? Who would want to come there right now? I can't think of anyone who would want to come there.
Nobody does.
You're not wrong for saying that. And what happens is when you hear your general manager, Joe Douglas, go on TMKS or go on, you know, any media outlet and say that you think Adam Gase is a part of the solution. As a player, if you don't feel like Adam Gase provides you with a path to victory each week, when you hear your general manager say that, you become disenfranchised. Like at that point, it's like we don't have any hope. Like there's no change on the horizon. If we don't think we have a chance to go out there and be competitive based on the game plan that Adam Gase has given us, yet the general manager is coming out and saying that he thinks Adam Gase is a part of the solution, where do you go if you're a player? That was a question. It wasn't rhetorical.
No, I mean you go in the tank is where you go. I mean you don't give effort and you get blown out in these games. I mean
to your point, to what you said earlier, it's gonna get worse.
It's gonna get worse.
You just said that. You said it's gonna get worse.
Get worse by winning the game on Monday night. That's how it could get worse.
They're they ain't gonna beat dogs, the Patriots. There's 7-point dogs to the Patriots.
They're not gonna beat the Patriots.
You don't want them to win this game.
No.
I don't think you got to worry about them winning this game. They're not even trying.
Apparently, Joe Douglas said it. All you have to do is play one defense, and they can't adjust to it. They'll just do that, and they have no answers.
Just run a couple stunts up front and press the receivers, throw off the time, and it's a wrap.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got
to
do.
He just gave the game plan for opposing teams.
It's simple, really. All right, let's start to get some calls on the Giants because I want to get into that, and I want to get into the fact that they were very quiet at the deadline yesterday. Let's go to Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. Good morning, Ricardo. How you guys doing today?
What's up, Dempsey? Is Dempsey your full name, or is there any way we could extend it out a little bit there?
No, that's actually my last name. My first name is a little eccentric, and it's hard to pronounce.
Oh, you go last name.
Yeah.
No, now I'm interested. Now I need to know what the first name is.
Have we ever heard the first name before? You think it's something that we've heard?
It's funny you say you're an avid listener of the Michael Kay Show, Ricardo, but they actually had this same exact conversation and asked me my first name too. Michael Kay actually got me to say it out, but my first name is actually Cullum.
Cullum? Hmm.
Yes.
Nice.
And you'll probably never guess how it's spelt either. It's only four letters on how it's spelt.
C-U-L-M.
C-O-L-M.
Calm.
It's an Irish name.
Nice.
Yeah, we know it's an Irish name, but I mean, come on. You get the. It's not Cullum, it's Calm. I mean, come on.
Calm. All right, listen, no reason to freak out.
You're like the GM down in Tampa. His last name is Licht. It's not.
No, but I've always gone by my last name ever since high school, though. So, and then I was in the military, so they all go by last names too.
All right, Dempsey,
I like the name.
Yeah.
You think that he should go on the call screener with Cullum?
Yeah, I like Cullum. I wouldn't spell it for his sake.
The first couple of times back when I called when it was Han and Humpty, and back when I was calling when I was out in Hawaii, you remember Dempsey from Hawaii?
Yes.
I called a bunch of times and I tried to use my first name and they would never get it right over
the
call.
Why didn't you just say C-U? Being serious,
no,
now.
You just got to spell it.
C-U-L-L-U-M. Yeah, Rick, what would you say?
I would probably spell it incorrectly to get it said right. It's just I don't want to do that. That's just not I don't want to do that. That's
all right,
name.
I think you should make the switch today.
To make you say it right.
I think you should make the switch.
I like either.
Now we know it. Now we know it's Cullum.
Okay, now you know it. The next time I call, it's Cullum from the Bronx.
All right, Cullum. The floor is yours.
Okay, so I see the final eight games of the Giants. Obviously, I completely agree with you, Dave. You have to keep him into these eight games. This is his final audition, in my opinion. But if you take the quarterback out of the situation, I see this team, the coaching staff, the way they're playing. I see this team as it could go 4-4. Take the quarterback out of the situation, the way their schedule lines up. They have every ability to go 4-4, or they could very well go 0-8 and 1-7. It's on Daniel Jones to make that. If they go 4-4, that means that obviously the turnovers have had slowed down, and he is something we can move forward with. If we go 1-7, 0-8, obviously the turnovers haven't stopped, and we're going to be in the top one or two, three picks. And if Justin Fields is there, we have to move on. It's been enough time. This, we'd have to move on from them. And obviously obviously Dave Gettleman is going to be gone. And I think Nick Caserio from the Patriots, the player personnel, is going to be the new general manager from the Giants. That'll be the first time you heard that. But they got to move on from Daniel Jones. If they're in the top five picks, they got to move on. But I believe in Daniel Jones, and I think they're going to go 4-4 the rest of the way.
That'd be a good finish to the season. If
you're Daniel Jones, you don't want to give the Giants the opportunity to actually consider drafting a quarterback.
Well, then you won't be able to.
Well, they won't.
If you go 5-11, you're not going to be able to pick a quarterback.
Yeah, the only reason this is a conversation is because obviously the turnovers, and it's costing you games. But more importantly, the more games you lose, and the higher your draft pick, and the fact that there's two quarterbacks at the top of the draft,
it is the Giants will be in position to get one of them. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Like I heard Don yesterday talking about Peyton Manning. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Peyton Manning, he turned the ball over way too much early in his career. But, I mean, in his second year, they won 13 games.
Exactly. That completely changed.
You know what I mean? Like, he had his first year where he struggled. He had 26 and 28. They were 3-13. And in year two, he won 13 games. They were 13-3.
Yeah. This team is 1-7.
Yeah, but the reason this is a conversation is because you keep losing. This is what losing does.
Yeah, you're turning the ball over and you're losing games. And if you weren't doing one, you probably wouldn't get the other.
Listen, Mark Sanchez turned the ball over a hell of a lot. I think he's had 12 touchdowns to 20 interceptions his first year.
Oof.
But guess what? It didn't matter because the Jets were winning games. And everybody wanted to attribute that to Mark Sanchez being the difference maker. They named him the Sanchez. But, I mean, there wasn't this strong criticism of the quarterback because you were actually winning. So the turnovers weren't costing you opportunities to compete. Whereas when we look at the Giants, it's like, okay, you can point to all of the games this season, save one, and say that they were in all of those games and the turnovers that Daniel Jones made were costly. There's no other way to look at it.
Even the missed opportunities, too. I mean, the turnovers bunched with the fact that he missed some, especially in that Tampa game.
Oh, I mean, Slayton, the whole night was running wide open in the secondary, and he missed him every single time.
And here's the other thing. What makes it even worse is it's not like you're getting the turnovers with this elite production. Like, if you're getting elite production, right, and you tend to turn the ball over, you can't live with that, but it's better than what you're seeing now.
If you were throwing for 340 yards and three touchdowns and two interceptions every game, you'd be like, okay, there's so much good to go along with
but
some even, of the bad.
Elite production, though, I mean, over a lot, it's still a problem. I mean, look at Jameis Winston.
That's exactly right.
Guy threw for 5,000 yards, and yet he's on the bench for somebody now.
And that team was 7-9. At least that team won seven games.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah, this team is 1-7 and floundering.
So that's elite production from the position, but because he turned the ball over so many times, Tampa couldn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bruce Arians couldn't fix it, so he said, nah, we can't do that. And you heard him. If we can win with this guy, like, he was done with it. And Joe Judge did not. Daniel Jones is not Joe Judge's guy.
No, he's not.
So he's going to be left with the decision. If this doesn't get better, he's going to have to make a decision.
Be as loyal as your options, like you mentioned before, Rico. So if you have the opportunity to be at the top of the draft, say you have top two, top three pick, then it's on the board for them to take a quarterback. If you don't, then that means that Daniel Jones would have won enough games. So it puts you somewhere where you're probably not in position to get one of those top quarterbacks. But that also pushes you toward going into 2021 with Daniel Jones as the incumbent. Not to say that they wouldn't bring in a quarterback to compete with him, but he would probably be QB1 on the depth chart at the start of training camp.
If you don't wind up with the first, second, I think it's got to be one of those two. I think Daniel Jones is going to wind up being your quarterback to start next season.
Yeah, but it's on Daniel Jones to stop the turnovers and to start winning some football games. Because if he doesn't, it's not fair to the rest of the team.
There is no after the Washington football team, there is no layup game for them for the rest of the way. There is no layup game. Because, I mean, they've got Philadelphia at home, though. So you'll see how that goes before the bye week.
Philly's playing for a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But then you're on the road at Cincinnati, a team that just beat the Titans.
Yep.
You're on the road in Seattle, probably not going to win that one. Home against Arizona, home against Cleveland, who should be playing for the postseason, on the road in Baltimore, and then home against Dallas. So, I mean, if you're Daniel Jones, you better win this one. You better win this one.
You could beat Dallas, too. Dallas, I mean, that'll be Dallas.
You know, and that's what'll happen.
I'm just saying, Rico, if you're Daniel Jones, you better win this one.
That's what'll happen. The Giants will be 1-14, and if they beat Dallas, they'll wind up with the fourth pick, and if they lose to Dallas, they'll get the second pick, and then four touchdowns, and then everybody will be all excited. Dave, oh, what a great game.
Dave, if they're 1-14 going into that game, then I'm going to employ Rico's strategy. We're going to bench Daniel Jones and start Colt McCoy.
No, I'd be fine with that.
We're going to bench
Bring
DJ.
Bring back Kyle Lallett and start him in that game.
Colt McCoy is going to be the starter.
So help me, if the Giants are a loss away from getting the franchise quarterback of the future and they win that game and I have to hear about it, well, he threw for five touchdowns and he was so good and then carry over and the momentum, I'm going to go crazy.
Nah. Not going to have him.
Absolutely crazy.
What are
At
the sneakiest
carry over? I mean, we got a huge win against Washington. What a win!
One of the sneakier funny things you've said so far today.
Sneaky funny, baby.
Then Don will be all excited.
Don will be. Last year he was going with five touchdowns. I mean, that carries over. It carries over to 1-7 this year. Is what we're carrying.
You honestly know what? At the end of it, what the biggest problem is that, and I think the reason why we're so focused on what's going on with Daniel Jones. This isn't something that just popped up out of nowhere. This isn't like all of a sudden like he's got a case of the turnover bug and he's going to fix it. This is
a problem.
This is who he is.
This has been a problem for his entire career.
Yeah, and it was a problem for Jameis Winston at Florida State that he never could fix. Like, this is becoming who he is.
Yes. He's a turnover prone quarterback at the collegiate level, at the NFL level. It is a major problem. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go, and we go to Dan Graziano in his Wednesday hit at 10:30. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you today?
We are doing well. Lot of NFL trade deadline yesterday, so let's get right into it. I want to ask you about the Giants specifically, but let me incorporate the Jets into this as well. Surprised that there was no activity at the deadline from the Giants specifically, but the Jets as well?
Not surprised at the lack of activity overall. Jets did trade three guys. They just didn't trade any of them yesterday, so they were kind of active. You know, we had heard the Giants were trying to unload Kevin Zeitler's contract, maybe Golden Tate's, but, you know, it takes two to tango, and there wasn't a lot of interest in tangoing this year for a variety of reasons. Teams didn't want to take on big contracts. They're concerned about being able to roll over salary cap space into next year when the cap's expected to go down, so that's a big part of it, and I think that's a big reason you didn't see a lot of activity.
Dan, there was one team I was surprised that didn't make a move, and that was Green Bay, and it didn't have to be Wolf Fuller. Yeah. I mean, especially on the defensive side of the ball, were you surprised that Green Bay didn't make any moves at all?
No, because, I mean, the Packers operate in their own way, and it's draft and develop. Like, if you could get Will Fuller or some kind of helpful linebacker or defensive tackle for a late-round draft pick, then maybe. But, you know, the Texans weren't giving their receivers away. They wanted good value for them, and the Packers value their draft picks very, very highly. So, no, I knew they were looking around and they were looking for ways to augment the team, but I never felt like, oh, the Packers are likely to make a move, because it would frankly have been out of character for them. That's just not the way they operate. They're always about the big picture, the long view, and building through the draft.
Dan, yesterday our very own Chris Mortensen reported that the competition committee was set to propose a 16-team playoff if a Week 18 wasn't enough to be able to make up all the potential cancellations due to COVID. Can you tell us how that's being received in NFL circles?
Yeah, I think there's a thought that everything has to be on the table. One of the reasons they have not wanted to put a Week 18 in is because they worry that the teams who have the playoff buys would go too long without playing, right? So let's say you have the one seed, you have the bye, you don't have a Week 18 game because you didn't have any games rescheduled. Now you have that week off. You have the following week off. It's going to be 3 weeks between games before you start the playoffs. So they didn't want to do that. This fixes that because now nobody has a bye. So I just think the way these potential solutions to these potential problems are all being received the same way, which is I think everybody's just saying, look, whatever it takes to get through this season, we have to be aware of the possibility that it's going to be weird and unprecedented and possibly even unfair. And I think that's just sort of the mindset right now of anybody who's been paying any attention within the league.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we watched the Giants on Monday night. I thought they played really well, to be honest with you. And I thought that if Daniel Jones would have played a better game, that's a game that they absolutely would have won. So, I mean, we're halfway through his second season now. What's your take? I mean, is this an audition for the second half of the season? Do you look at this and say he's locked in and he's going to be their quarterback of the future? What are you hearing from NFL circles about whether he's going to be their quarterback of the future right now?
Well, I think that their goal, and I think we've been saying this since August, is they have to get through the season and be able to have some idea what they have there, right? If he's your franchise quarterback of the future, you want to feel pretty confident about that at the end of this season. So you do want to see a reduction in the turnovers. I mean, it's crazy. Like, there's just too much. And I reckon, and talking to the coaching staff, I mean, like, they like his aggressiveness. They like that he feels like he can make any throw at any time. But they have to iron out some of it and get him to the point where he realizes he doesn't have to make any throw at any time. And that's something that he's struggling with and that they're struggling with. But they like him. They're optimistic about him. You know, the level of certainty you have about him as your long-term answer, I think that remains one of their goals for this season, is to see enough over the course of 16 games to convince you that you have the guy. And if you don't, then you might have to make some tough decisions next year in the draft and in the offseason.
Dan Graziano joins us here on the show. Speaking of the guy, you know, Tua gets a win in his first start. He wasn't a huge reason why they won. Yeah, I mean, defense and special teams were great. But, I mean, Schefter's report that the reason they put him in is because they're going to have Houston's first-round pick, and that could be a very high pick. Is there really a chance that Miami would consider drafting another quarterback this year?
Yeah, to Schefter's report, I think the report said one of the considerations, right?
Yeah.
So that's not the reason they did it, but it's a factor in the decision. And I think it's interesting because you have a quarterback prospect in Trevor Lawrence that everybody's lost their minds over about, you know, how great he's going to be, what a can't-miss guy he is. You're the Miami Dolphins. You have Houston's draft pick. They continue to lose. If Houston ends up in that one spot and by default Miami ends up having the one pick, you got to think about it if this guy, Lawrence, is everything everybody says he is. You have to understand what the value of that pick is if you want to draft him or if you want to trade him. And part of that calculation is going to be, you know, how do we feel about the guy we took last year? I think it's a big-picture view from a smart organization that's saying, look, we're not saying we don't believe in Tua. What we're saying is let's get us some evidence to help us make whatever decision it is that's in front of us if the time comes. And if the Houston Texans finish – you know, go 4-4 the rest of the way, it probably doesn't matter. But if the Houston Texans end up 1-15 and get that pick, and now you as Miami have to decide what to do with it, you want as much information as possible. So I kind of like the idea of it. I know that they wouldn't have done it if they didn't think he was ready, if he didn't think that he gave them a chance to win games right now. They're very concerned. They don't want to lose the locker room. They know how the players feel about Ryan Fitzpatrick, et cetera. So I think that's just kind of one more bit of a factor in the overall decision by a team that's thinking very big picture.
Dan, yesterday Joe Douglas talked to various media outlets and again sidestepped the question of whether or not Adam Gase is to blame for this mess. Why won't anybody in the Jets organization criticize Adam Gase?
Well, if they're going to make a change at head coach, it's going to be an ownership decision, not a Joe Douglas decision. So he's in a bad spot there. What's he going to say, right? I sure hope the owner.
How about everybody else? Everybody else right. Needs to be good at their job.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, I don't know, probably understood. But I think, okay, you know, he's in a situation where he's kind of probably walk a fine line, because if he knows something, if he knows that they're getting rid of the coach and they're planning to do that, then he doesn't want to let on. And if he doesn't, but he's unsure, he certainly doesn't want to speak for ownership. And so until you hear from ownership on it, and I guess we have, right? Hasn't Christopher Johnson talked once or twice and said some things about Adam Gase, about him sticking around through the season? You know, I think Joe Douglas is sort of staying in his lane there, right? In terms of calling for accountability, et cetera, why is anybody criticizing? you know, I've flipped that around and say, you know, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about anonymous Cowboys players criticizing the coaching staff, and that was a bad thing. So, like, how do you want it, right? Like, is it okay?
No, I don't think that's the same thing, Dan. I'm just talking about people at the top of the organization, the general manager and the owner. Usually, when teams struggle like this, you know, they come out and they say everybody needs to be better at doing their job. Obviously, we're halfway through the season and we don't have a win. It just seems a little weird to me that the players will accept blame and accountability. The general manager will do that. But nobody seems to think that it's weird that Adam Gase hasn't done that, nor has anybody else said that the head coach, in addition to everyone else, should be better. I just think that's strange.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's a weird situation there, and I think everybody feels like we know what's going to end up happening, but it hasn't, and it may not until the off season, and you know, that creates an uncomfortable situation that can be a little difficult to parse. So yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you your opinion on it is wrong. I think it sounds like you've thought it through, and you may be even convincing me.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You kind of touched on the question I wanted to ask you, Dan, and that is he going to make the season? I mean, there's real discussion that this is the worst team we've ever seen play football, right, through half the season and what the second half could potentially
be. Not good.
They're terrible. Yeah. Is Adam Gase in some unbelievable scenario going to make it through the entirety of the season?
If I were betting on it, I'd still probably say no, but I don't. I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he does. Like, if you fire a coach in season, you have to figure out why you're doing it. Is it to give someone else on the staff a look as a potential replacement? I don't think that's in play here. So, you know, is it because you don't like the guy? It doesn't seem like they dislike him personally or anything. Like, he hasn't done anything to embarrass the organization off the field, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, some teams have enough and fire the guy. Houston did it. Atlanta did it. Jets haven't done it. So, I mean, unless I can get into the head of Woody and Christopher Johnson to talk about why they haven't done it yet, I mean, it would make sense to you and me. But the teams about these decisions, what you hear is, well, how would it benefit us to make a move like that right now? And if the answer is we don't think it would, then you kind of don't.
Dan Graziano joins us here on the show. Dan, last one for me. In your mind, after what you saw from Pittsburgh against Baltimore, who do you think the best team in the AFC is right now?
Chiefs. I mean, like, they have a loss. Pittsburgh doesn't have a loss. I get all that. But I just think the Chiefs are a cruise control operation right now that kind of knows it's going to win pretty much every time and is waiting to just try and position itself for January. Now, get to the end of the season, and Pittsburgh has the one seed, and Kansas City has the two, and it is a seven-team AFC playoff field. Obviously, the advantage then switches to Pittsburgh because they would have the bye. But in terms of the roster, in terms of the quarterback, in terms of everything you're looking for, I still have the edge for the defending champs.
All right, Dan, good stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you 1 week from today at this very same time.
I wish I could offer more clarity on the Jets, but maybe there just isn't any.
Yeah, it's possible. As you get information, you will feed it to us.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, good stuff. That, of course, is Dan Graziano. Michael K. Show's 20 and 20 contest continues today at 3 o'clock. The K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize the voice. You call, you say who that was, and you win big prizes. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes. Over 20 days to make your home life just a little bit more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Sonos Move Portable Wi-Fi speaker. It's awesome. It's the 20 and 20 contest, and it's brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. You want to make a funny quip about the Bartesian now? I'm ready.
No, I'm past that. You ruined the last one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hope you can forgive me.
I had a terrific trick-or-treat joke, too, and that completely fell flat.
You had a trick-or-treat joke?
Yeah, I dressed up as 2020. I was throwing poop around. You just completely...
Well, I appreciate it. But what did you want?
A giggle. What did I want? I mean, if you're doing a stand-up comedy routine and you tell a joke and no one laughs...
I don't think we didn't laugh. I think we appreciate it for what it was, and we moved on.
No, you dudded me.
I don't think that's fair.
You're breaking my spirit.
I think we're a very good audience for you, to be honest.
I feel like the Sam Darnold of joke telling right now.
There's a lot of laughter that goes on.
I'm afraid to even pull the trigger on a
See,
joke.
There
now.
You go. Hesitate. Look at him. He's laughing.
I'm hesitating.
You get a lot of laughter from us. All right. Speaking of laughter and hijinks, let's go, Santy. It's time.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Hump Day edition of Knobservations. As we love to do and start in observations with a quick look at the weather with Dave Rothman.
The weather outside is weather.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm sure a lot of people are bleary-eyed today over the election that went late into the night and continues along today. But the weather is it's wonderful. I mean, you get outside for a walk. We're going to get highs of low 60s, all sun today, not too chilly. You could even go with the sweatshirt up top, shorts on the bottom. It's the advantage you have of a nice sunny day. The thing that stinks, and it pains me to say this, sunset today, Rick, 4:46. But the weather today, lovely.
That used to be one of the most depressing parts of this time of year when you're playing, is that you'd come home, I'd eat my pregame meal, take a nap, and wake up. And by the time I'm driving to the rink, it's already dark outside.
That's terrible.
That's the worst.
It's terrible.
So
you ever
depressing.
Take a nap and wake up and think it's the next day and you've
yes.
missed the entire... That's scary, right?
More than one time.
All so right, I don't want to stand in your way. Go.
Let me ask you a question. Have you been... like, how was your sleep at night? I know, I mean, you share like the waking up to pee like two or three times a night.
What do you mean, how's my sleep at night?
Have you been sleeping good at night?
I didn't last night.
No, I don't think anyone slept good last
night.
No.
Yeah, overall,
Luckily, it'll go for the next couple nights, too, because apparently this is going to take
days. Yeah, no, this is going to take days. Hopefully by Friday we have some kind of an answer. No, I mean, I sleep fine. At least once a night I wake up to go to the bathroom, which stinks.
Which is the worst.
But so that's my advanced age. That's what happens.
The reason I bring it up is because I'm taking this new supplement. My buddy sent over this supplement, like this all-natural supplement, and I took it the last two nights. And
you didn't pee?
No, not only did I not pee, but I actually got like legitimate sleep. I didn't wake up groggy at all.
Really?
I don't want to jinx it, but it's been
those
two
things
nights.
Scare me because then I'm gonna wake up. I'm gonna be purple and I'm terrified of that kind of stuff.
Why would you be? What is? You going to
you
the chocolate factory?
You never
seen like ER? Barney?
Yeah, you never seen ER? These hospital shows? What were you taking? I was just taking a supplement and like.
Oh yeah,
purple.
Cassie.
Like,
that happened to Cassie.
I'm scared of stuff like that.
Like if she's allergic, if you're allergic to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's allergic to sulfur. You're right. She turned like all purple splotches all over. Which I kind of think is like a fetish thing.
All right, I don't want you to say that you don't have time for an observation. So please.
I got plenty of time.
Please.
You set me up perfectly.
Nobservate.
All right, let's nobservate. Let's start with, did this happen? This is topical, too, because of the election. Did this happen in Florida?
Yeah, I'll just say yes, I give up.
Police are investigating an allegation that people tried to vote illegally on Thursday. How did they try to do this? Well, they tried to vote twice. And in order to do this, they decided that they were going to fool everybody by leaving and then coming back with their heads shaved. Incident took place around 2 p.m. when the group of would-be voters entered an early voting site. And luckily, in disguise, because they just shaved their heads, a person at the polling place recognized them as having voted there previously and confronted them. Group ran out and got away in two vehicles. Person followed them. Recorded the license plate and called 911. Investigators are tracking down the vehicle and seeking surveillance video of the would-be voters.
Now, my theme has been everywhere is Florida, Chris.
Yes.
So it sounds Floridian, but I'm gonna surprise you. I'm gonna say not Florida.
Yeah, I'm with Dave on this one. Everywhere is Florida right now. The world is upside down. It's 2020. So I'm going not Florida as well.
Santy, Florida or not Florida?
Hey, I'll chase the rest of these people and say not Florida.
Not Florida. You guys are correct. This is actually New York.
Oh, come on.
So much
this
worse.
Is New York.
Are you kidding me?
They tried to vote illegally in the Bronx on Thursday.
And now they have to go through life with a shaved head.
Right?
Shaving their heads to change their appearance.
Couldn't even get the second vote.
Oh, my God. They're going to have to call up Ravi, see if they can get some help.
Bad.
That's probably offsides what I just said there. But
yeah, we move past those.
Speaking of Dave's Giants... the mess that is your Giants. Not only is Daniel Jones turning the ball over, apparently he's not getting Golden Tate the ball enough. Did you see what Golden? Did you see what Golden?
Oh yeah,
Tate
his old lady. Yeah, his old lady.
She's very unhappy.
Yeah, she's very unhappy. This is on her verified Instagram account. Says that her husband is so underutilized by the Giants. Was open the entire game, He needs to be fed the ball. And she's to say frustrated is a complete understatement. She also goes on to say that he's always been a team player and would never say this, but I can't watch such a playmaker be underutilized. How do you feel about that?
That stuff infuriates me. You know what
Golden
she just got off the phone with, by the way,
Common
Giselle?
Warrior.
this is why I call him Golden Taint, because he tends to be, you know, more towards, you know what I'm talking about.
Awful.
He could be either one.
So bothered by her doing that. Does she think that they're not getting him the ball intentionally?
She says she's lit. She said, 11 years in the NFL, I've never said something like this online, but it's excruciating to watch, and it's killing his stats this year. But you can't have yards on a few to no targets.
Well, he's been in the league 11 years. That's long enough for her to know better than to come out and say something like this. Like, that doesn't help anything. This doesn't help your husband's career.
No, this hurts it.
Yeah.
This only hurts it.
Yeah, if it hurts his career, it hurts his bottom line.
And you saw him.
Pretty sure she's not going to like that either.
No, after he has that awesome catch, too, before the two-point conversion, the touchdown catch, throw me the ball. That's not what you mean.
Completely unnecessary.
Yeah, and you appropriately put her into observations.
Of course.
Yeah. She needed to go there, yes.
Did you guys see this in the Oklahoma State-Texas game to distract the field goal kicker?
No.
So late in the second quarter, Texas is on the road at Oklahoma State. They bring out their field goal kicker. And then what Oklahoma State does, and if you got to watch the video, on the big screen, on the Jumbotron, they put up a bunch of yellow lines. So it looks like the field goal posts
are moving?
No, it's straight up.
It looks like they're different than where they should be?
It's a line. It's a complete line of yellow lines spread out. And it's hard to even identify where the goalpost is.
Oh, I like terrible. It. That's creative. I like it.
Ends up making the kick, but if you look at the picture, it's like I don't know how the kid did, because it looks like a bunch of goalposts.
It's like crazy. Rocky, which I see three of them. Hit the one in the middle.
Hit the one in the middle.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right, I think
you got to be done. I think that's it.
You have to be done. Yeah, we're way too late. We're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, and that's the last thing we want. But a wonderful job. Wonderful job by you. A sensational, as always, Knobservation.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.